Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
If your life looks the same as it did before you got saved, then you're not converted.
Bishop Clark says sin is a key concept in Christianity, but it's also a negative word no one likes to talk about.
There should be a major difference with the people you hang out with, the language that you speak, your thought process, and how you move, even your heart condition after you came to know who Jesus is.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to the Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of the International Ministries of Truth Revealed, a Spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida. In today's message, Bishop Clark talks about how before we can begin to restore our relationship with God, we need to realize and understand that our relationship with Him is broken and why it is broken. Grab your Bibles and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, as Bishop Clark begins the message, A Love That Restores.
Before we can begin to restore our relationships with God, we need to understand a few things. That this relationship is broken. To begin with, it was broken. Why that is the basic gist of my message. Why there's a broken relationship with God and man. It's very clear in Ephesians chapter 2. He made you alive who were dead. Something happened to kill your human spirit because of trespasses and sins, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. And whence we walked, and that's why it's dangerous to try to teach people about destiny without conversion. It's dangerous. This is happening all over. You have a destiny. You have a destiny. God has something, but nobody wants to talk about getting that issue fixed. There's some things that you just can't do with God. There's no grace inserted or injected in your life if you've never been converted. You have to be covered and converted. Please listen to this morning's message. There's a covering that you need. God needs to cover you. And you need to get in a church that covers you, that takes the oversight. Not playing with you. Nobody's supposed to play with you. Nobody's supposed to play, not hurt your feelings, and make sure that the pastor is standing up there saying everything so you don't get your feelings hurt. You go to churches not to be comforted. The church is supposed to make the uncomfortable comfortable. The uncomforted comforted, and those who are comfortable is supposed to make you get up. You're coasting too much. I'm supposed to challenge you to do some things differently, because if you don't do things different, you'll never see anything different. They say the true definition of insanity is to think you're going to have a different outcome while you do the same thing over and over and over again. My job is to jar that, to shock you back, to bring you back, to give you the word of God, run past me, straight to Jesus, and I'm doing my job. For he had made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And once you walked according to the course of this world, if your life looks the same as it did before you got saved, then you're not converted. There should be a major difference with the people you hang out with, the language that you speak, your thought process, and how you move, even your heart condition after you came to know who Jesus is. You once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Here is Lucifer. His name is Lucifer, but he's also called the prince of the power of the the prince of the power of media. Somebody's pumping this stuff in you. And while you're listening and doing what you do, someone is pumping their flavors into you to get your mind off God into his arena. And the more you do that and get into flesh, the more you'll pull back from God. You'll pull back from God so much so, I'll take God later. When you used to say he's the author and the finisher of my faith and I love him with my whole heart. You used to say I will bless him at all times and his praise shall continually be every day I will praise the Lord. My soul will not make its boast in my portfolio, but my soul will make its boast in the Lord. I can't brag about Clark because you got a lot of stuff in the past, but I can tell you about how big my God is. Come on, biggie me with a praise to the Lord. Biggie me. Come on, big it up.
Yeah.
Supersize the praise. You once walked according to the course of the air, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons is right there of disobedience. In the sons of disobedience, the sons of anarchy, the sons of rebellion. And we're watching a whole generation of young people, even people that are old coons, full of rebellion. Old coons, full of rebellion. The older you get, the more you should be able to be amenable. If somebody give you truth, why would you resist truth? Why would you get angry with something that's going to help you? Why would you have a problem with Gatorade when you lack electrolytes? Why would you get mad with Gatorade? I'm trying to help you. Everybody needs a little aid, right? Why would you have a problem with that? Why would you have a problem when someone is telling you you need to put on shoes before you walk into a major accident and you have no shoes on and there's glass all around? Why would you get a problem with me when I'm telling you that? Well, my mama, that's my mama. But what I'm trying to tell you, put on shoes before you get there. Yes, we got to pull two of you out. Take a moment, put your shoes on, man. Why would you get have a problem with me? Then you want me to help you when you get hurt, right? If you listen to some instruction, we won't have to pull you out and put you in ICU as well. Maybe we can save both. Why would you have a problem with someone that's given, if repetition is the mother of skill, instruction is the father, the incubator is consistency, and we need all three if we're going to be balanced and whole. You need to move yourself from the sons and daughters of disobedience or rebellion and step into the sonship column. The Bible says, among whom we also once walked, conducted our lives. I'm back in Ephesians chapter 2, flow with me. Conducted our lives in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy. Say, but God. He's rich in mercy. You know, God loved us before we realized it. There are people under the sound of my voice. God loved you when you didn't know it. Let's say it this way. He loved you before he loved you, or before you found out he did. He was always looking at you, crying over you. He knows what it was that sent you astray. You haven't told anybody, but he knows. He knows what happened to you that you've never spoke of. And he was crying over you. When others say they reject you, God still loves you. And I have this burning desire in my heart to see the unloved restored. He's rich in mercy. Like the gold in Fort Knox, he renews mercy every morning. You will never exhaust the mercy of God. He gave me a promise. Mercy will never leave Truth Revealed. Neither will grace. I had a lady to join the church named Mercy Cloud. Another lady to join the church named Grace Murphy. And the Lord spoke to me and said, this is not an accident. Grace and mercy will never leave the house. Both of the ladies passed away and I lowered them to the ground and I cried as it happened. But he said, my grace and mercy will never leave this house. There's a song they put out, grace and mercy has brought me through. Whew, Jesus. I wish I could sing, because I would if I could. That's right. You know, when you love people, man, you hurt when they hurt, right? There's a love for restoration. You need to know that God can feel you. Jesus walked on this earth because he wanted to feel what it's like to be human. And when he really lives in leaders and in his people, his spirit, you don't just walk past people and not speak. That's not God. That's not God. That's not God. There's something in you. I don't care how fine you are. You take a moment and say hello to somebody. What makes you gorgeous? You may be fine, but what makes you gorgeous is when you take a moment and speak to children. Not when you just step. What, you want everybody to look at you? Oh, right. Everybody's looking at you. But if you want to go to another dimension and be gorgeous, How about taking time to speak to a few people? If you really believe that you're an Atlas as a man, then take a moment and greet some people and start relating to folk, and God will bless you. Because when you humble yourself, you're then released to the masses of God's people. He resists the proud, but he gives grace. Come on, to the humble. Glory to God. I've seen people with great power, great authority, $2 billion company, sit right there on the front row and lift up their hands. $2 billion company, never flaunt the money at all. And then people got a little cash, walking around, can't lift up holy hands to the Lord. You never draw attention to yourself. That's not what we do in the house. We always point our attention to him. When you worship, never ever become robust in your ability to sing. Always point the people to Jesus. When you preach, don't preach so good that they look at you. I want you to look past me at the man that sent me. And if you ever get with him, you'll recognize and respond to me, because he's the one that sent me. He's the one that pushed me out. He's the one that put his word in me. He's the one that's giving me unction. And he loves you. I love you too, but he loves you most. He really loves you. He wakes me up at night and say, pray for this one. No, he gives me a word for you. And I don't even know you. But he loves you. Can't you just receive it? You're so hurt, you don't know how to receive love. Somebody try to hug you, always pushing back, try to take a picture. Don't take a picture of me. I need to lose weight. Get sit down. Sit. This is gonna hurt. We have to define transgression and depravity. It has a major extent. You once walked according to the course of this world. If people, before we can be restored, we have to understand that the relationship between us and God has been broken, because we can begin to restore our relationship with God. We need to understand that the relationship is broken to begin with, and that's why we need restoration. If you say, well, I don't need to be restored, you don't understand that the relationship with God has suffered. The relationship is broken, not because of anything God has done, but because of the fall in Genesis 3 and the nature and the death that reigns from Adam to Moses. Please read Romans chapter 5 this week, the entire book. Because of Adam's fall, death, the scripture says, reigned like a king. Death was deputized to reign from Adam to Moses, even to those who never did what Adam did. Death was released into the world. And that's why man at one time was living almost 1,000 years. You see it recorded in the Bible. Now he's only promised 70. If you're around 70, you ought to give him praise, because anything over that is not a promise. It's grace. He promises 70. Amen. And if you ever extend it beyond that, we have to give him glory. Our society has turned away from God, God's standards, and created our own path. I read a passage of scripture out of the book of Job. They resist the light, therefore they don't know the ways of the path in which he set. They rebel against light. This is our society today. And sin is the key concept of Christianity, but it's also the negative word that nobody wants to talk about, that sin condition. We prefer to be positive when we teach, and to think positive, that people are basically good and God is going to use you, but never really dealing with the issue that separates us from God. The sin thing has a hold on everybody, not just the unsaved, but the saved, because we get ahead of ourselves. We need to understand what the scripture says. Here is a chief apostle reading or writing the book of Romans in chapter 7 of Romans, chapter 7, verse 7, sin's advantage in the law, he talks about. That sin, even in righteousness, gains the advantage. You'll read in verse 7, it says, this is Romans chapter 7, verse 7, the double 7, what shall we then say? Work with me. What shall we then say? Is the law sin? Certainly not. So the law is not sin. But notice what he says. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through what? The law. So the law helped me to understand what's right and wrong. So the law is not sin. It helped me to understand. But look at what he says. For I would not have known covetousness, to look at somebody else's goods and want them, unless the law has said you shall not covet. So because you can't say the law is wrong, because the law revealed the sin that was in me. Notice verse 8. But sin, notice, but sin taking opportunity by the commandment. In other words, if you don't have a savior, this is what happens. You come to church and I start preaching on sin, right? If you don't have a savior to rescue from this, what you do is, I don't want it. That sin automatically starts working in your flesh to push away from light. You don't understand the total work of God and restoration. You got to learn how to take it and you can make it type mentality. You can't just back away from everything that makes you feel uncomfortable. Believe me, I preach the word even if it points at me. Whatever he takes me to, that's what I have to preach. And you got to learn how to look at it. Go ahead and look at it. Look at it. You don't even look at it long enough to see what it says. Let's go again. Verse 8. But sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desires. So when God said don't do something, sin and just awakens desires. Look at the word. For apart from the law, sin was dead. In other words, if there was no law, you would know that you have sin inside of you. If it wasn't for the preaching of the gospel, you would know if you were astray. You wouldn't have no clue, because it's only awakened when the law is revealed. Verse 9, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandments came, sin revived, and I found myself dead. But the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, notice, this is the law of sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just as good. Glory to God. So Paul is a senior leader, and he's educating the church at Rome about the law of sin. Don't run yet. I'm going somewhere. Look at verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Now, people are packing churches because they won't read this. And a lot of people are sitting in ministries that never read this at all. And the preacher's talking about that they don't want you to make it, but you're going to make it. People don't even hear conversion. They don't hear conversion no more. They don't hear the name of Jesus anymore. It's all about self-helping. How you can make it, but you never have to do anything different. We cannot make that mistake, truth revealed. We must look at the whole counsel of God. Don't become comfortable with your unsubmitted self. You have to say, I need to get on up, get on the scene, and let God do some things in my life. Y'all still here? Let the demons go and you stay. Yeah. Whew, Jesus help me. Let me go back to verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Who's preaching that? Nothing good dwells. If
If you're just looking at self-confidence and self-grandizement and what you're able to accomplish because people are complimenting you and you don't see that in you, there is no, you know why? Because there's a law in you called sin, and only the law of God can identify it, and even then it will fight against the law of God, and you need a savior to rescue out of this pit. Notice what the word is saying. For the good that I would do, I do not do. But I do evil. I will not do. I will not do that I practice. Now, if I do what I would not do, it is no longer I, but it's the sin. How many of you say, I'm going to do better? And next thing you know, you're back doing the same old thing. He said it's the law of sin working in you. Notice what he says now in verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. In other words, I really want to do right. But I see another law working in my members. Working in this. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. To the law of sin which is in my members. Look at verse 24. He cries out now to God. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? It's right there in the text. You haven't read it before. Only the famous scriptures. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, the only one that can break the law. It's not the law alone. Law is righteous. It's only designed to cause sin to be identified in you. But you still need someone to rescue you. And that's the one who loves you. He loves you so much, he doesn't want you straining like that. He wants to rescue you. I told you it was going to hurt, but now let me help you. God wants to restore you and heal you. In the next chapter, he starts a restoration process. So we're switching from this war that's going on with sin and members and the Savior who rescues us out. And he opens up the chapter in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Listen to them which are in Christ. In other words, I know your struggles and I know your pains and I know what you suffered. They don't know. They don't have a clue. They wouldn't know what it's like to walk through this body, this member that fights law and try to do what's right, but constantly struggles with doing what's right according to the mind, hallelujah, that's tied to Jesus, but the members is tied to this law of sin. But thanks be to God who rescued me from this battle that's going on in my mind. And he opens up the chapter by saying there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in. It doesn't mean you're flawless, but what you do is realize I can't do this on my own and I need somebody to rescue me. Oh God, I need you to cover me, so I'm gonna sit my behind down and let God cover me. You can't do this on your own. You'll be fighting in religion, moving from one church to the next because you made mistakes. You've got to get your head together and sit down and let God cover you. And from the inside out, he'll work things out. Can somebody say amen?
The sun hath shed its kindly light. Our harvesting is gladly o'er. Our fields have felt no killing blight. Our bins are filled with goodly store. From pestilence, fire, flood, and sword, we have been spared by thy decree. And now, with humble hearts, O Lord, we come to pay our thanks to thee. We feel that had our merits been the measure of thy gifts to us, we erring children born of sin might not now be rejoicing thus. No deed of our hath brought us grace when thou were nigh our sight was dull. We hid in trembling from thy face, but thou, O God, wert merciful. The mighty hand o'er all the land hath still been opened to bestow, those blessings which our wants demand, from heaven whence all blessings flow. Thou hast, with ever watchful eye, looked down on us with holy care, and from thy storehouse in the sky hast scattered plenty everywhere. Then lift we up our songs of praise to thee, O Father good and kind. To thee we consecrate our days, be thine the temple of each mind. With incense sweet our banks ascend, before thy works our powers pall. Though we should strive years without end, we could not thank thee for them all. A Thanksgiving Poem by Paul Lawrence Dunbar. Happy Thanksgiving from Bishop Merton and Pastor Sabrina Clark and the entire Trim Nation family. Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's teaching, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at The Word of Truth Revealed, P.O. Box 60128, Palm Bay, Florida 32906, or you can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. Now for your physical copy of today's message from the Restore series, A Love That Restores, when you write or email us, use reference number 21100311. That's reference number 21100311. Or log on to our website and download the MP3. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with the International Ministries of Truth Revealed. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with us, Trim Nation, by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. For Android users, go to the Play Store, and for Apple users, go to the App Store. Follow Trim Nation on social media by logging into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visit us on the web at truthrevealed.org. And now, a final thought from Bishop Clark.
Jesus is the author and finisher, the perfecter of our faith. What does this mean? Well, before I answer that, let me just say this. God has indeed advanced to every single one of us the power to lock away our emotions and problems. We can just stuff it and forget about it. We can lock it away deeply, darkly, into a self-chosen chamber of vault. But He's so faithful. Our God is faithful. Our God is awesome. He's also released to every man, to every woman, to every single one of us, the ability to respond to His mercy and grace adequately. While the no choice may be ours, the yes choice is always God's choice. He is the author of our faith. He is the Alpha of our faith. And if He's the author, He's the only one that can be the finisher of our faith. If He's the Alpha, He's only qualified to be the Omega. It will not be finished unless He does the work. So put your confidence in the Lord.
Your full glory is revealed.